Item 2, from Corporation Counsel requesting authorization to file appeals in sick allowance decisions in Judith Pasco versus Milwaukee County, case number 11CV2577, and Robert Porth versus Milwaukee County, case number 11CV4908.
Okay. I'll note that there is a memo from the comptroller that's been distributed and will be added, subsequently will be added to Legistar. Attorney Grady.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This case, the issues in this case are really complicated. It's difficult to explain and difficult to understand because of all the various moving parts that we have created with our sick allowance system due to changes over time. So you'll have to bear with me a little bit. You'll recall we had a lawsuit a while back by non-represented employees, a so-called Champagne lawsuit. And it related to the fact that non-represented employees in 2000 were given 100% payment of their sick allowance balance at retirement, either through cash if they're a pre-1994 person and or through credit towards health insurance if they're a post-1994 person. And then subsequently in 2002, the county board changed that rule going forward to a 400 plus hours plus 16% of hours over 400. And in the Champagne case, basically the Court of Appeals held that the non-represented employees were entitled to payment for all the hours they accrued up till 2002 at 100%, and then hours accrued after 2002 at that 400 plus 16%, rather than the 400 plus 16% applying to everything. So it was basically the sick allowance hours as they were earned were to be paid by the formula in effect as they were earned. This case is a permutation of that. This case involves represented employees who were in unions that had different formulas, depending on the union, and then became non-represented employees through a promotion. One of these individuals was a former AFSCME member. One of them was a former FNIP member. The county's position has basically been in this litigation that when you retire, this is a retirement benefit, the payment of sick allowance, you can use it while you're here, obviously, but if you haven't used it while you're here for the normal uses, when you retire, it's a retirement benefit. And so when you retire, we would look at the formula in effect for you when you retire. And that, in these people's case, is a non-represented formula because they receive promotions. So we looked at their status at retirement. They are non-reps. They got the benefits of a promotion, the higher salary, et cetera. And so we applied the sick allowance rule to them that was in effect as of their retirement. Generally speaking, that's a lower rule. It's not always, in fact, a lower rule, but generally speaking, it's a lower rule. It will result in a lower credit or lower payment. They sued and alleged that, essentially trying to follow the Champagne argument, that they should have the sick allowance paid or used under the formula that was in effect at the time it was accrued. So, for example, for an AFSCME person, you had 100% payment for sick allowance hours accrued up to 2000. You had a lower formula of, I believe, 25% payment for hours accrued between 2000 and 2007. 100% payment of sick allowance hours up to 2007, 25% after 2007 until their promotion, and then once they're promoted, the formula for non-represented employees. That's what the court essentially ruled, is that's what they're entitled to. They're also entitled to, in particular with AFSCME, I think it's the only union that has this, they have a last-in, first-out rule rather than a first-in, first-out rule. Generally speaking, the last-in, first-out rule is more advantageous to the employee than the other, than a first-in, first-out. And the court said they were also to be given the advantage of that rule because they had that for their sick allowance while they were a union person. Fundamentally, our point has been, you know, when you take a promotion, you get the advantages of the promotion and you get whatever disadvantages come with the promotion. You take the consequences of the promotion. And that when you took the promotion to a non-represented position, even though someone may not have sat down and talked to you and said, this is what it means for you, all of your benefits. This is how your pension may change. This is how your sick allowance may change. This is how et cetera, et cetera, et cetera may change. as an individual, like everyone, you're supposed to know the law as it is. And all of our benefits are set forth in ordinances or union contracts. And so you should be deemed to know the law. You should be deemed to understand the ordinances. And therefore, you should have known that when you became a management employee, this would be the effect. Plus, we go back to the point that this is really a retirement benefit. It's not like sick allowance that you use during your employment. It's sick allowance that you get paid or credited at retirement. And so that's the rules that should apply. We have lost this case so far to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals has basically said, no, this is governed by the Champagne rules. And we think that this is worth enough. You've seen the note from the comptroller that it's worthy of going to the Supreme Court. We think it's tied into, and just one more comment and then I'll be quiet. There was a case that came out of the city of Milwaukee related to retirement health insurance called the Loth case. And in that case, the Supreme Court said that with respect to Mr. Loth and the retirement health insurance at the city of Milwaukee, he had to essentially make it to retirement and be eligible for retirement. And then when he hit that retirement date, they would look at the rules for health insurance as of that date. And so they applied the rules as of his retirement date. And our position in this case is basically that that's what should apply here. You don't get this benefit if you don't retire. If you leave the county without retiring, you just quit or go somewhere else, you don't get paid, you don't get credit. This is a retirement benefit. And so that's the rule that should apply, the rule the Supreme Court applied in the Loth case. Court of Appeals said no. We see this more as a earn-as-you-go rule like Champagne because it's sick allowance, and that's the rule that applies. And I'm not saying that they're completely wrong. Obviously, there's arguments for both sides, but we think there's a pretty good argument why the Supreme Court would apply the Loth case, which was a Supreme Court case, to this situation. So for those reasons, the financial reasons, we would ask that the board approve an appeal to the Supreme Court.
Excuse me. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I look at this as an earn-as-you-go rule according to your status during your career, so I will be voting against the appeal.
Okay. Other members? Supervisor Weisha.
I just think we need to understand, the gravity of it, that this isn't just an appeal to the appeals court. This is an appeal to the Supreme Court. So there's been two courts already who have made the decision that we are not on the right side on this. And it's been given a lot of thought and a lot of deliberation on it. So I'm willing to agree with those two judges in their review of this to say that it is an accrued pay-as-you-go kind of type acquirement rather than our assertion that this is somehow you should be judged at retirement on this. So I don't support the appeal, and I would move to deny the appeal.
Supervisor Broderick.
Unlike the last case, and I've expressed myself on this on prior occasions in other cases, the Supreme Court for me becomes something of a different matter in that it is a bought and paid for stacked deck. That said, I'm going to oppose this for the reasons my colleague just cited. It's been reviewed by two courts, and I think through sound reasoning they've arrived at their conclusions. And to send it on to the Supreme Court, given the composition, nature, and likely outcome there, it seems that they're more in the business of representing special interests than the people of this state. And on that, I will base my vote in favor of denial.
Attorney Grady.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. One other comment. It is in the memo, but unlike the Court of Appeals, which has to take any case appealed to them, the Supreme Court has complete discretion, with a few exceptions, on which cases to take. And so just so you understand, the Supreme Court may not – we can – in this situation, it's asking the Supreme Court to take the case rather than just automatically taking it there, and they have to agree to take it. They take a very small fraction of the cases that are presented to them every year. And so there is probably a small, a less than 50-50 chance that they will even take this case. But I do still think it's worthy of presenting to them for the reasons I gave before.
And the representation is covered by the mutual. How does that? How does this work in this case?
Yes, the mutual has provided Attorney Al Levy from Lindner and Marzak to represent us in this case. Mr. Levy is also representing us in the other retirement benefit cases as well through the mutual. So he's familiar with all these interrelated issues.
Okay. The motion is to deny the appeal. Any other comments from committee? Seeing none, on the motion.
On the motion to deny, Supervisors Borkowski.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Broderick.
Aye.
Rainey.
Aye.
Chaskunas.
No.
Mr. Chair.
No.
There are 4 ayes, 3 noes. The motion to deny is approved.
Four no's, weren't there? Three no's. Oh, I'm sorry. Three no's. I got it wrong. All right. Motion to deny is approved. Okay, thank you. That'll go to the full board as well. Item 3, please.